You're listening to audio from Calvary Chapel, Monrovia. For more information, please visit www.ccmonrovia.org.
And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, you can open them up with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So normally on Wednesday nights, as you know, we're kind of studying through the Bible verse by verse, but we're taking a break during this time in the park. Want to do a series entitled The Heroes of Faith, and just taking a look each Wednesday night at a different example of faith that we can find in the Bible, and then try to apply that faith into our lives, our faith in Christ, our faith and journey with the Lord. Tonight we'll be looking at who is often referred to as the father of faith, Abraham. But before we take a look at him, I want to read a couple of verses to you. Look with me there in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses. Now this is Hebrews 12. If you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, that's known as the Heroes of Faith chapter. That's where the Bible talks about various men and women and how by faith God worked miraculously in and through their lives. And so now, in summation, the writer says, now, since we have all these great examples of faith, so many men and women who have seen miraculous work of God through their life through faith, let us also now walk by faith. Let's run our race. We have those that have gone before us giving us a good example of faith. Let us now run with faith. And the ultimate goal of our faith, of course, is Jesus. As we run with faith, as we run our race, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. He's the author, the perfecter of faith. He's the one even the Old Testament saints, through faith, were looking toward. They were looking for the promise of Jesus by faith. We now look at the finished work of Jesus by faith. And so together we joined with them with this great cloud of witnesses. We have this example. And as we look through these examples, my hope is that we'll be able not only to see their faith, but also to bring it into our application, faith in Jesus. You may remember after the resurrection, when Jesus rose, he joined a couple of disciples that were walking on the way to a city called Emmaus. And as he was talking with them, he began to share the scripture with them. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke that he, from the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus, he's raised from the dead. He's walking now with some disciples, and he opens up what? The Old Testament. The New Testament had not yet been written. He opens up Moses, the prophets, what you and I know to be the Old Testament scriptures. And from the Old Testament scriptures, what does he preach? He preaches himself. He preaches how all, even the old covenant, was pointing to the new covenant that would be instituted by Jesus. So that's why the writer of Hebrews uses these examples, because they become examples for faith in Christ as well. So that's my hope as we work through these Wednesday nights together. We'll pull out a different hero of faith, a different way. I won't be following the Hebrews 11 chapter entirely. We'll pull out a number of those, but also some freedom to look at other examples of faith, and then try to bring that into some application for us as we walk in faith with Jesus. We're going to take a look at Abraham tonight. As I mentioned, often referred to as the father of faith. And just a few things that I want to point out tonight concerning his faith. You're there in Hebrews 12. Now dial it back to chapter 11. And we'll take a look at some verses that refer to Abraham for us out of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11. And I'm going to pick it up. Look with me, verses 8 through 10. And the first thing that I want you to notice about Abraham's faith is that it is a faith that obeyed the call of God upon his life. Let me say that again. Abraham's faith was the kind of faith that obeyed God's calling upon his life. Look with me, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is the writer of Hebrews reflecting back on Abraham's calling when God first began to speak to him. Abraham did not know God. He was just a man living in the culture in his day. And yet the Spirit of God reached out to him and called him out. This is a reflection back to Genesis chapter 12. You don't need to look. Let me just remind you of how God originally called Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. God comes and calls him. He gives promise, but included in that promise is a calling to follow and obey God. We notice that he calls him out. He calls him out from his familiar place. He calls him out from the land in which he was living. God says, "I want you to leave. I want you to come out from your family, all the lineage." And think of the parents, the grandparents, whatever heritage he had there in the land. God was calling him out. And so often when God speaks to our lives, one of the first things that he does is he calls us out. You know, the Bible talks about repentance. That word repent means to turn from the direction I'm going and to begin a new pursuit. And this is the way God's call comes to all of us. God does not come and say, "Hey, just keep doing everything you're doing. That was my plan for you all along." No, God says, "No, I'm calling you to my plan, to my purpose." That initial call of God on our heart, when he comes to us via the Holy Spirit and says, "Hey, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for your life. I sent my son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. You're living in your own selfish way, but I'm calling you to a relationship with me. And through my son, I want to forgive you and cleanse you, but not just to forgive and cleanse, but to bring you to purpose, to a life of destiny that I have prepared for you." And it begins with forgiveness. It begins with relationship with God, but that's just the beginning of the journey. And it's a calling out from that which is the old life, from that which has been familiar and comfortable, and he's calling you to something. And he says to Abraham, "To a land that I will show you." The writer of Hebrews points out that it was a land that Abraham did not know. He left by faith, obeyed the call of God, not knowing exactly where he was going. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like our journey in faith, too? How many of you know exactly where you're going? I don't. Some of you do. That's good. I don't. And oftentimes, the Lord begins to draw us and work in our lives, and he's leading us, but we don't know exactly where it ends, do we? We don't know exactly what's next. But we know this, that he loves us and that he's drawing us to himself, and we begin to put our faith, that's what we're talking about tonight, our trust, our confidence in him. It's hard when the Lord begins to direct our life. The Lord begins to speak to us. We immediately want to say, well, Lord, what's the plan? Well, okay, I'm happy to come, but what are the details? right? Kind of like when we plan a trip, we want to know how we're going to get from A to B. Thank you. We want to know, you know, who's going to be there to pick us up at the airport. What, we don't want to come until we've got some of the details worked out. But God calls Abraham and says, just come. I'm going to show you. I've got promise for you. You're going to have to believe in the promise that I want to bless you, that I'm going to use your life, that you're going to be a father of many nations, and that through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Think about that promise. Think about God coming and saying that to you. I'm going to bless you and your household. I'm going to bring you to a land, a place that I'll yet disclose, but I'm going to bless the whole world through you. What was that blessing to the whole world that would come through Abraham? It was Jesus. Through Abraham's lineage would come the Messiah. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. The promise of the Messiah given to Abraham, and it begins with this very kind of blind invitation, just follow me. I'm not telling you where you're going yet, except you're coming with me. And so this call of faith, it requires an obedience to the call of God. We don't know all that God has. We don't know what God has planned and purposed, but we know that He loves us. We know that it's good. And I don't know about you, but I believe in my heart that it's better than anything that I would plan for myself. That it's better than anything that I would kind of resist His call for. Well, I'm just not sure. If God, if you give me a few more details, I'll think about it. I'll consider it. That's foolish in my heart. Because God's plan is going to be better than mine. God's plan is going to be the best. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The call of Jesus, just as Abraham was called, something in his heart knew that God loved him, God wanted to bless him, God made promise, I'm going with God. I'm casting my lot in with Him. I'm going with you, God. I don't know where you're taking me, but I know that it's good. And that's the call of Jesus. Are you burdened? Are you weary? Have you had enough of your own program? Come to me. Follow me. There's no specifics about where you're going and what it will look like, but just follow. If you're burdened, if you're tired, come, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. That word yoke, it's what they used to fashion on the ox for his working in the field. And Jesus is saying, I've fashioned a work for you. I have a plan. Just as God spoke to Abraham, I've got a purpose for you different than the one you had living here in your familiar land and family. I've got purpose for you that is built and based on my promise. And Jesus makes the same call today. Our hearts are called to faith. It takes faith to respond to that. It takes faith to say, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm coming out from the old. I'm coming into the new. I'm going on with you by faith. I don't know where it will lead. I don't know what hardships, what trials may await, but I know that you love me and I'm going to follow you. You know, we sing that song, are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. That's the call, isn't it? Come to me. Find rest. Are you tired? Are you weary? Abraham, I've got something better for you. Follow me. I've got promise for you. And God has that same promise over each and every one that we would follow Him. When He spoke to the disciples, you remember, He said to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they immediately left their nets and followed Him. When He called James and John out of the fishing business, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. The call of Christ upon our lives is a response of obedience in faith, believing that what He has is good. When He called Matthew out of the tax office, follow me. So he arose and followed him. In the same way that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, God said, come with me. Abraham said, I'm coming. And faith often requires obedience before we know the outcome. That's what faith is all about. Knowing or having hope in that which is not seen. And he does not give us the full plan ahead of time. It's usually one step at a time. Second thing, back to Hebrews 11, that I want you to notice with me concerning Abraham's faith. Yes, it was a faith that obeyed the call of God, but it's also a faith that endured the journey. A faith that endured the journey. It's one thing to start in faith, but as you know, the Christian life, our walk with the Lord, it's a journey of faith. Many start well, but they don't journey well. Abraham's faith endured the journey. Back to Hebrews 11, pick it up in verse 13. Speaking of Abraham and others that are mentioned in the chapter, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These heroes of faith, Abraham included, he journeyed by faith his whole life, but there were promises that were made that he never saw during his life. Let's think about the promise we just identified a moment ago, the promise of Jesus, that through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. You're going to be the father of nation. You're going to be the father, you're going to be the lineage of the Messiah. And yet, he never saw Jesus come to the earth. Jesus was many generations later. Abraham knew that that word, that promise, would be fulfilled in time, and he saw it from a distance, and he embraced it. Abraham, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he embraced it. Jesus said of Abraham that Abraham had faith in Jesus. How could he have faith in Jesus so many years before and he never lived to see the birth of Jesus? By faith. That's what this scripture is saying. As they journeyed in faith, they began to realize that some of these promises are yet distant. Some of these promises that God has made are going to be revealed in eternity. And it says they embraced it. They were okay with that. This was not a faith that said, oh, I know, Lord, you got to bring it all now. I need my life to be completely fulfilled today. In this life, I want all the blessings. And if things go bad or if there's a trial, oh, God, where are you? I don't understand. I thought everything would be promised today. That's not a faith that will journey well. That's a faith that will be very disappointed and frustrated. Now, Abraham's faith, he sojourned. He pilgrimed in the land. He knew that much of what God had promised would not even be seen in his time, but he embraced it. He was blessed to be a part of God's plan and call for his life. Don't you know that's the call of God on our lives as well? We are called to be faithful to our generation. We have this window of time that has been entrusted to us, a lifetime, to live for the Lord. And God has made promises into your life that he will fulfill in this life. Abraham did experience many blessings, but there were many promises, the full obtaining of the land. He dwelt in the land, but it was not yet given to him. It would be generations later. Joshua would lead the people in to possess the land. But he saw it, and he was okay with his part in God's plan, and he lived by faith, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, knowing that his life being faithful today will ultimately produce the blessing of eternity with the Lord. And that is an important point for us to journey, dear brother, dear sister, is to learn that your journey in this life It's not a promise of everything you want or desire or dream for. God will bless. God will provide. God will care for you. God will bring you through trial. God will bring you victory. God will work miraculously in this life. But much of our faith, to sojourn, to really journey the distance, you've got to keep your sights set higher than just this life. That's why the writer of Hebrews, when he concludes in chapter 12, fixing your eyes where? On your circumstance and how things are going today? Fix your sights on Jesus. He's the author. The NIV says he's the pioneer. He's the one that blazed the path for our faith. Jesus suffered in this life. Jesus died on the cross in this life, but he rose and lives today and dwells in glory. That's our pathway. That's what our journey is. This helps us walk through the trials of today, knowing that God's plan and purpose for my life is not just about today, but it's for the city that he's leading me to, a kingdom not of this earth. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth. That's what he said when he was there at trial. And he said, I could call down a legion of, if I wanted, I could change the dynamic here very quickly, but my kingdom is not of this earth. And he's called us to a journey of faith. You don't see the fullness of the kingdom yet. We have glimpse of it. We have taste of it in the Holy Spirit. We have the work of God in our lives, and we do enjoy that fellowship. But the journey of faith, it has to continue to keep its sights in Jesus. Jesus said, store up treasure in heaven. It says there in verse 15, still talking about Abraham's faith, truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. The faith that journeys well is a faith that fixes its eyes on Jesus and his eternal purpose, but it's also a faith that's not looking back with regret, with a longing to return. It says, had they called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. When Abraham, when these heroes of faith came and began to walk in faith, they weren't looking back. Abraham didn't, on the tough days in the promised land, he didn't say, wow, gosh, I think I'll go back. I think I'll go home. This isn't working out. It's not happening fast enough. It's just not really what I had in mind. No. The Bible says if you start looking back, you'll have opportunity to go back. So as we walk with the Lord, God has called some of you out of the country you left. God has called you some of you out of bondages of the past. God has called you out of the guilt and the shame of your past. God has forgiven you and cleansed you. You don't want your faith looking back. As you begin to look back and reflect, it creates opportunity to go back. And that's not a faith that journeys. That's not a faith that endures to the end. Keep your eyes forward. Don't look back. Jesus said himself, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Faith that journeys. The final thing that we'll look at here tonight concerning Abraham's faith, you'll find it back in Hebrews 11. It's a faith that passed the test. Excuse me. Faith that passed the test. Hebrews 11, pick it up in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You know the story. God promises that Abraham's going to be the father of a nation. Many years later, there's still no son. He has his own little, him and Sarah plan their own little kind of detour to try and help God along. We know how that worked out. Ishmael was born. But God says, no, that's not how I'm going to fulfill my promise. You're going to have your own son. And of course, that son was born, Isaac. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. Isaac is the lineage that I have chosen to bring about the Messiah. And now, some years later, most think that Isaac by this time was a young teenager. The Lord says, okay, now I want you to take your son up on the mountain, Mount Moriah, and offer him to me as a sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews lets us know God calls him to offer up his only son. There's no one else to fulfill this promise. The one that was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. The writer of Hebrews letting us know this is a real dilemma for Abraham. God's promise is being threatened here, and yet God's the one asking you to do it. And it's a test. It's a test of faith. Will you obey God? Will you trust him even in circumstances that you don't seem to be clear on? Even when God says, do something that to you seems exactly the opposite of what fulfilling his promise should look like. But here's the faith of Abraham, concluding that God was able to raise him up. Abraham believed God with such a faith that he concluded that, okay, even if I do this, which I do not understand, which will break my heart, in obedience to God, God is still going to somehow fulfill this promise, even if he has to raise Isaac from the dead. And it was at this time that God was testing his faith. Abraham did believe, and Abraham's faith did pass the test. You know the story. When he got up on the mountain, as they were journeying up the mountain, Isaac said, Father, we have the wood, we have everything we need, but where's the sacrifice? And the father said, the Lord will provide. And as Abraham was preparing and ready to offer his own son, the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, and he provided this ram that was caught in the thicket. The Lord did provide the sacrifice and said, now I know that you believe and will obey. It was a testing of his faith. Hard for us to imagine that inner turmoil that Abraham must have gone through. And clearly he knew that God had spoken to him. This was not a hunch that he had. God was clear. But this faith that God calls us to is a faith that will be tested. Your faith will be tested. You say you believe in the Lord. You say you want to follow Jesus. You want to have relationship with him. You want to fulfill God's call upon your life. I believe that he has a purpose for me, and I begin to journey with him. That faith is going to be tested. How will that faith be tested? In our life, it comes many ways, sometimes through trials. That will test our faith. It perfects and matures our faith. Well, I thought I wanted to follow Jesus, but I didn't know it was going to be so hard. This isn't working out. It's not turning out the way that's where faith is tested. Well, I thought you had faith. That's where it will be tested. Tested in your obedience. It's easy to obey God when it's easy to obey. But it's hard to obey when it goes against our will, what we want, what we think, and God is calling us to lay something down, to sacrifice to him. Circumstance will often threaten your faith. Will you trust and believe even when it looks like what God promised isn't happening? God made you a promise. God maybe dropped something into your heart, something that he's called you to, drawn you to. You know it's the Lord, and yet it's not happening. That's the time that your faith is tested. In our times and Wednesday nights here, we'll look at Joseph, but you know his story, how long he waited for that promise to be fulfilled, and many times when it looked like it was going exactly the opposite direction. Is that happening to anybody? Where you're waiting on the Lord and you feel like circumstances are moving in the exact opposite direction? How many of you know that as a church, we've been praying for a building now for a few years? Does this look like a building? Here we are in the park again in the summer. I thought for sure by now. But you see, we're just trusting the Lord. And I don't know when and how and what the Lord's going to do, but I know that he's called us to continue to forge ahead as a church, to continue to gather. And so He's put us in the park again this summer. I'm blessed to be here. Blessed that you're here. Blessed that our kids are able to be together and enjoy. And we'll trust the Lord to work however he wants. But sometimes the journey is different. The circumstances are not what you imagined. And that's where faith is tested. When I first stepped out to plant a work up in this community, our very first service was here, right at this little gathering place on a Sunday morning. It wasn't even as many people here. There was only about 15 of us. And I stood up here just like I had a big group and just, you know, preached to the 15. Six of them were my family. Five of them were my family. And we had church. But listen, the Lord gave me a promise. My sending promise, I've shared this with you before, was out of Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's a verse the Lord dropped into my heart and confirmed it through prophetic words that were spoken over me as the church laid their hands on my wife and I to send us out to plant the work. Now, I got to tell you, when that promise was in my heart, God is with you wherever you go, I had no idea it would be so many places that we would go. But I will say this, God has been faithful. God has been faithful all these years, wherever we've gone, and we've gone all over town. I could point a few out from here. But God has been with us. And God, all through that season, tests faith. And yet, his word is true. He's given me a command to be strong and of good courage, not to be afraid, because my God is with me. With building, without building, in the park, in a sanctuary, in a school. If God is with us, we can be strong and we can be of good courage. Sow that into your heart tonight. Let the Lord minister to you tonight. God is with you, and you don't need to be afraid. God provided the sacrifice for Abraham, that ram caught in the thicket. Abraham would not need to offer his son because God would provide the sacrifice. The same is true for us. There is a sacrifice that has been offered for our sin. We have no ability to provide for ourselves, but God has provided the sacrifice. Abraham did not have to offer his only son as sacrifice. God provided a ram, but that ram was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate provision. Abraham didn't have to offer his son, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God provided the sacrifice. For Abraham, it was a ram, but ultimately that ram represented what God intended all along, was to provide the sacrifice of his own son. You can imagine Abraham as a father, you know, just straining everything within him to do this work of obedience with his son. And yet God gave his son the very best. Jesus is the ultimate promise to Abraham. Jesus is the ultimate promise to all of us. And that love of God is what calls us to faith today. Abraham was on the other side of Jesus, believing a promise, looking and embracing something that was yet afar off, and that faith guided him. That faith called him out. That faith gave him purpose and made him the father of faith, the father of a nation, the father of the lineage to Messiah. And that faith guided him to the promised land, the city whose builder and maker is God. He's with the Lord today. We look back on the sacrifice of Jesus. Abraham looked forward with faith. We look back. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. What? The cross. What I did. We look back to what Jesus did with the same faith as Abraham. And in the same way that Abraham's faith was credited to him for as right standing with God, we now have the same opportunity. When we put our faith in what Jesus did, the sacrifice that God provided for sin, that faith in Christ's work acquits us. We too are credited with his righteousness. We are credited with right standing with God, all because of Jesus. Jesus is the focal point of history. All history prior pointing to Jesus. All history since looking to Jesus. Jesus is coming again. That's what we await. That's what we long for. That's our eternal hope and promise. He will come for us, or we will go to be with him. But we are also looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. All of it by faith, all of it in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the example, this example of Abraham, just a man living in his country with his family, and yet God called him out. God called him to a land that he did not know. God, you called him to a journey of faith, not a journey of his own making, not a journey of his own plans, not a journey of his own ambition, but a journey of faith to trust you, to believe in you, the God of promise. And Lord, today you are calling men and women the same way. Come to me. Come and find rest. Rest from your own way. Rest from your own schemes. Come and take my yoke. Take what I have planned. Take the work, the calling, the purpose that I have destined for you. And here you will find rest. Here you will find mercy and forgiveness. Here you will find purpose and calling. And here you will journey with me by faith to a promised land of eternity with the Lord. So God, help us in our journey of faith. Help us to walk with this faith that obeys the call, that journeys in our time and what you've called us to, faith that passes the test of being sincere and genuine. And as our heads are bowed here tonight and just closing in prayer, we'll close in a song of worship. But just before we sing, I do want to give opportunity, if you're here in the park tonight and the Lord has spoken to you through his word, this example of Abraham and his faith that he had in Jesus, maybe it's calling you to faith in Christ. Maybe you want to respond. Maybe you are weary. Maybe you are ready to come out and to come to what Jesus has planned for you and the promises that he's made over your life. Maybe some of you need to just come back to the plan that God has called you to. Maybe your faith has drifted. Maybe you were walking with the Lord. You came to faith, but your faith has not endured. Circumstance, frustration, disappointment, hurt, sin, entanglements. Something has got you off course, and tonight the Lord is speaking to you. Come back to me in faith. Come to the land that I've prepared. Come to what I have for you. Be strong. I'm with you. I love you. Maybe you need to recommit, rededicate your heart and faith tonight. I'd love to pray for you. So just as we close, if you're here tonight and you want to respond to the call of God upon you in Christ for the first time, you want to receive Jesus, or you want to recommit, rededicate your life to Jesus tonight, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you here as we close. Anybody tonight, the Lord is speaking to you. God bless you here up front. Bench in the back. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, the Lord speaking to you? You want to come to the Lord? You need to come back to the Lord. Your faith needs to come home. So Lord, we thank you for this time, this evening together. We thank you for these hearts responding to you now, and we pray that you would meet them with your love and with your grace and with your forgiveness. You have provided sacrifice for us. You gave your only Son, Jesus. You died on that cross for me, Lord, for these hearts, for these hands responding, that they would receive your love, your forgiveness by faith, putting their trust, their belief in you, a God who loves them, a God who saved them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Calvary Chapel, Monrovia. We pray you have been blessed by this sermon. For more information, please visit www.ccmonrovia.org.